Here's the music. Okay?
Horrible.
Okay, he says it's horrible. That's Larry.
But it's our music.
You tune to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host, here with Larry for the next hour.
Oh, God. Is that all we have left?
That's all we have left.
It went so fast.
And, excuse me, our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And our sponsors for today are Computer Renaissance with two great locations, one at Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary and one at the North Hills Plaza on Six Forks. Pay them a visit. Also by Mindspring. You can get in touch with Mindspring, an internet service provider, at 888-MSPRING or go to www.mindspring.com. We had two things to catch up from last hour. A caller called during the break and told John that you can call Canon and get an updated printer drivers. So
you can probably get it off the net, their website.
They can probably get it from the net, but hey, if you're not on the internet, it's nice. Canon has that service that you can go in and just get the driver, so it's nice.
1-800-CANON?
1-800-CANON, I don't know. with us in the studio are Robert Bruce and Howard Wood.
Udell.
Yeah. I said I'm going to do it.
He's named after a former senator.
He's getting closer every time.
From Idaho, yeah. Right? Udell?
Utah.
And
was from Idaho, wasn't he?
The guys are from SafetyNet, remote backup service. A great service. A really, really great service. Let's go and catch Jim.
Hello.
Good
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning, fellas.
How you doing?
Doing great. Enjoy listening to your show every Saturday.
Thank you.
All right. I'm having a problem with when I boot up my computer, Windows 95. It shows invalid drive specification. It won't let me do anything else after that.
I know. You have a zip drive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something in the way that I don't understand it. Some machines have that problem with the zip drive. Stick a disk inside the zip, and everything will be fine probably.
Okay.
It's seeing that zip as a drive, as a hard drive.
Right.
That somebody took the platters out of. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah, and it may be in your BIOS when it looks at the sequence when it boots up. Normally the sequence is either CA or AC, one of the two.
Yeah.
This may be looking at that drive first.
It may. How old is the computer?
About 2 years old.
Yeah, so
I'm not sure.
I kind of doubt that.
I went into safe mode, get a scan disk and everything. I thought it was, you know, something.
No, it's not. This is the zip. I mean, most of the time it's from the zip drive.
Okay.
Just stick a piece of media. I mean, a diskette. I don't know what to call them. A floppy.
Uh-huh.
Media. Yes, a floppy. Big floppy. Fat floppy.
Put it in there and see if that solves your problem.
Okay.
Yeah, and also, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, you might try iOmega's website, too, because they do have a lot of technical information on there.
All right.
And we're going to talk about them in a minute anyway.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. I hope that that's his problem. I mean, I've heard about that before.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I've had that. I mean, NT does that all the time. If you have a floppy, a media in the zip drive, it looks at it as a drive and wants to check it all out, and it's painfully long and boring.
Hi. Mike, good morning.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Good.
Got an internet question. I've got a problem whenever I try and access certain websites, or not certain, but just any websites. Whenever I go to a website, I get this message that says Internet Explorer cannot locate, and it's got the site.
Right.
And any website that I try to go to, after I get that message, I get the same message every time until I sign off of the
provider?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of that?
Okay. Who do you go through?
AOL.
Can you get the AOL page up?
I can get the AOL page up. No problem. But anytime I get to
it may be that your DNS settings, and I don't know about AOL, how their software works. the name server is not working right.
Mm-hmm.
You also try and clear your cache.
Okay.
Because if it has remnants of can't find that site, it may
come up when you do that. Yeah.
Yeah, even though it's there, it right away says, oh, we couldn't find that the second ago, so we can't find it now.
Yeah, even when I go to different sites.
Yeah. And it may be that really you can't go through because you have a problem on the port that you connected to AOL. Remember, these are unmanned. So it may be a problem with that.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's not just a straight answer.
I see. So you try and clear the cache.
Yeah. Clear the cache and see if that solves the problem.
Okay.
And
okay.
And at last resort, call AOL help, even though that's like calling AOL hell. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've already been through that.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And any of you want like a chocolate bar? No, never mind.
Why?
Good morning, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Just picked up your show this morning. First time I've heard you guys. Sounds like a pretty informative show.
Thank you.
And I have a question maybe you could help me with. I have a Corel Mega Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with like 50 or 60,000 photos and graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try to print the photos out, it prints it with bars over it. You can't see the photo. It just has, I don't know, I guess it calls it bars. I called Corel like the first 30 days that I had the software, and they told me how to get in there and turn the bars off. But now I'm past the 60 or 90 days where I can call them and get information.
I kind of doubt you're past that period because they will not let something like that just go. There are different things. It can be a cable that is messing up. It can be your printer port that's messing up. It can even be your printer that's messing up. I used to...
Yeah, it's not... It doesn't do it on... it only does it on the photos. It doesn't do it on graphics.
And so that
or any
may...
Any cartoons or anything. And it's some kind of...
That may be also memory, because it requires a whole lot more memory to print a photo than it is to print clip art. There are different things, and it may just be your device driver. This is not something that I can tell you for sure. This is what does it, especially not with Corel. Anybody here uses Corel that knows how they do it?
No, but I think your first point was actually right. I would call Corel again and say, look,
yeah,
I had a problem. I called you before. I got the problem back, and they won't charge you for that. And if they do,
okay,
they're a bad software company, and they're not. They're a good software company.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's exactly what I would do.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. All right. So... Before we go to Robert and Howard,
mm-hmm.
Let me just remind everybody, if you're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz, and when we go into the next commercial,
10 minutes,
which
now
will be in about 10 minutes, be the fourth caller to 860-0850 or #850 if you're a 360 communication, and you win Microsoft Windows 95 Test Preparation Series. From this is from MCP Publishing. It's a Microsoft certified professional to prepare you for to be a 95 engineer. 95 engineer.
Mm, give it tune-ups.
Yeah. Very nice book. We have a few of them that they sent. So let's start giving the first one on the next commercial break on the 20. Yes.
No, I want to talk about iOmega briefly.
You want to talk about that's right.
Because so we won't forget it.
I promised you I'll let you rant.
I get to talk. No, that's not a rant. This is just, we had people call last week about a phenomenon called ClickDown.
Right.
If you're using a zip drive and you put a what iOmega calls media in, and you get continual clicking, there's either a problem, and I looked into iOmega's, I mean, there's a whole website called ClickDown. www.clickdeath.com, because a lot of people, several people throughout the world, like this is an Australian site, are having this problem, and it's causing them to lose data on these zips. This is the 100 meg, and it works for both the Parallel, the SCSI, the ATAPI, and the IDE. iOmega has a site, has information about it. It's their document number 2135, and it talks about clicking, and of course they don't call it click death. I don't think they would do that. But in the end, all I tell you is that it's a problem with the mechanics or with the media. They suggest if you have the problem, you stick another disc in. If it can, and you still have the problem, it's the drive, not the disc. Send the drive back, and they'll give you a new one. If it's the disc, send the disc back, and they'll give you a new one.
Make sure it's backed up before
yeah.
before you stick it in.
So it makes you a little leery. But at least it's on their site. One other area on iOmega that was mentioned last week about the iOmega portable zip drives, which is a great idea for a laptop. They now make internal iOmega zip drives. They're made by two companies at iOmega list. One's CNF, and the other is VST. And one, I think VST makes them only for IBMs. And CNF makes them for two or three hours.
Tell you what, while we're talking on this and we're not taking callers,
right?
Let's move the time of the contest to right now.
Should we do that?
Yeah. So be the fourth caller right now.
Right now?
Right now.
So 800-0850. It's a prize. I love it.
Or pound 850 if you're in your car and you win the book. Right now. 860-0850 or pound 850. And John is ready for that.
Good.
But this way we can give more stuff.
That'd be great. I'd love it. But I just think that people who were real interested last week, and a lot of us are, a lot of people use iOmega's advice for a lot of things because, they're, in fact, Micron is putting them in as the alternative. They're not even putting in the 1.44s anymore. They put in the zip drive as the standard floppy.
Yeah, a lot of them. By the way, everybody can hang up. There's already a winner.
Wow.
Go ahead.
But ClickDesk does exist. iOmega has no fix for it. They'll simply replace the product for you. What it does leave you with is the problem. If you stick a good stick data on one of those media in there and it clicks it, you might lose everything.
But nobody knows exactly what's doing it, huh?
They say it has to do, again, if you read that document from them, they say it has to do with the heads of the read-write heads
right.
of the, and that's it.
Well, I mean,
but they don't know.
There's nothing new about those heads.
Right.
Right?
Right. So they have no explanation of why, what causes it, but they give you a remedy. And that's basically been their solution to their problems all along, is that you got a problem, we'll give you a new one.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but
will the new one be any better?
Good question. they keep putting out new products. They've got out another. I just was looking at Windows sources. You know, they've got a new. Even though with our backup people here, I don't even know if I should mention this because.
No.
There's an iOmega 2 gig tape jazz drive. A couple of things. I mean, it's a wonderful drive. It acts like another hard drive. But the thing's $500 and the tapes are $150 a piece. So we talk, and they sell the tapes only in packages of three. So you got $1,000 invested.
Well, there is nothing wrong about investing money in a backup.
Right.
And guys, no tape. Yes, tape. Because
you do
a lot of people should use a tape. Everybody should use a tape. Everybody should back up. But the problem with the tape, I mean, it's easier said than done.
Right.
And I know it from my own experience. You have a tape, you back up, and then you slack off, and you slack off, and you slack off. So to buy a tape that finally is going to sit there and you're going to back up once every 6 months, that's a waste. That's a waste of money, and it's a bad investment. And that brings us back. Are you done talking about
this? Well, again, on the iOmega stuff, go to their website, and you can find out about their internals. And they have a good website. Just go take a good look at it, and you'll find the information. And click that does live, and there are websites devoted to it. So have a ball, guys.
860-0850, pound 50, 360 communication. Customer, you're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Let's go back to Robert and Howard here.
Yeah, I know. They've been quiet too long.
I want to hear more about it. We're talking about backups, and we're talking about how important a backup is. And normally, it is somebody that lost everything right then that comes and says, I need to buy a tape backup.
Right.
You know, a few months ago, a lot of people that had their hopes in getting some kind of advancement in the cure of cancer or whatever probably lost,
Dr. Smart, a lot of time.
Yeah, Dr. Smart. My.
Dr. Smart at NC State.
Yeah. Had his computer stolen,
And the hard drive that he was back
in. And the hard drive. And the hard drive
he was back in. And the horse he rode in on.
The whole kitchen caboodle. How did it go?
The whole thing.
Now, here is somebody who could have, who should have, and who had to back up his stuff to somewhere else. I mean, this is a guy who's sitting there. We're paying for his time. Some grants are paying for his time. He is occupying an office that we're paying for, probably, or paid for. And he is not doing his job. Now, whose fault is it? Is it his? Is it the system administrator who's overseeing him? Or was there even a... are you familiar with the case? I don't know.
Only what we read and heard in the press.
I mean, this is ridiculous for somebody who has such important work to do to not back up and to create a situation where they lose everything that they worked on for 10 years?
Right. The biggest failure, obviously, was that he didn't have a remote location to take the hard drive to.
Right.
And, you know, even though they stole it, that's one thing, but the information that existed on his hard drive was not encrypted. So hopefully,
right.
You know, whoever the hands that fell into can read the data that's on that hard drive as well.
I know. See, and let me tell you something. If they could read it, and if they're listening to the show, maybe their computer, I don't know, who knows. It's not going to do anybody any good unless it's him who knows what it said. So give it back to him. That's too late now, probably. But the thing is, he didn't take the hard drive home, the one he was backing up to, because he didn't have a long enough cable. Probably. But to safety net, you have a cable.
Your phone system.
Your phone system is your cable, and you take it over there. And even if you take your tape, the tape drive, I mean, normally people back up to a tape and they're supposed to take the tape with them, or the floppy, or whatever. It all depends on the size of the business. But here, even if you have an external drive that you're backing up to, which there's nothing wrong with, you're going to take it home one day, and 2 days, and 30 days, and 60 days, and the 61st day, you're going to go home from an appointment you had somewhere, and you didn't go back by the office, and it stayed in the office, and that's the day somebody's going to steal it.
Yeah, that's right. And the reality of that, too, Amnon, also, is that it's how that hard drive or those floppy disks or that tape is actually stored when it's taken off-site. We find a lot of cases in small to medium-sized businesses that the disks are thrown in the glove box or they're left
right in
the car, and it's 120 degrees outside.
Absolutely.
And 200 degrees inside the car.
That's right.
So there are a lot of factors that play into
you
that.
You can't put some magnet over it, as they're saying.
Exactly.
I have that machine. I'll tell you a story later. We have our guest on the phone, so when we come back from commercial break, you will have a chance to listen to David Stang from Quarterdeck, and we talk about virus and stuff. Meanwhile, be the seventh caller after we come back from After we come back from a break.
That's five fingers on one hand.
After we go into the break.
Two on the other.
And you, and this is again from Quarterdeck. And you win TuneUp, the surefire way to keep your PC up to date. Seventh caller after we go with the commercial to 860-0850 or #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. So your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or mortgage and your car payment, 850. The Buzz. Go! And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And online we have David Stang. David, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to wake up in North Carolina.
Where are you?
I'm up in Maryland.
Oh. Oh, you're not? Why did I think you were on the West Coast? Okay.
Our company is based in the West Coast, but I lollygag back here east.
Oh, okay.
Your team plays Carolina today. You could lose.
Oh, you could.
This was Wally. I'm sorry, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
David, if I may just introduce you a little bit to the audience. You are regarded as one of the world's foremost experts on computer viruses and computer security. And because of Dave's vast expertise in the computer security arena, he's a prolific author, having written over 200 articles for computer and other trade publication, and a dozen books on the... And I can just go on and on and on and on. This is very impressive. So what are you doing in Baltimore? You're supposed to be here.
Yeah, you're a virus geek. So
I'll
tell
happy
you what,
to be here.
You're very happy. I tell you what, Dave, let me take just a second here. During the commercial, you probably heard that we had all that... The winners. Let me just give those, the 15 minutes of fame. David Strickland won the book about Microsoft 95, and Steve Hook won TuneUp from Quarterdeck.
Great.
All right. So now let's go. Yeah.
What is Quarterdeck's virus product, antivirus product?
The new product is called Virus Sweep.
Okay.
It's in, I think, all the stores down there, and in a big yellow box with red lettering.
Right. I opened it because I was going to look at it. That's something that's down my alley. And that's why we're not giving it today. We'll probably do it next week.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I always like to look at. Why is Virus Sweep better than McAfee or Norton or whatever that everybody is using?
Well, good question. And it's hard to fight fame. There are going to be a lot of people in North Carolina listening to your show who have one other product that's been around a long time and just love it to death, and I'm happy for them. We have lots in our product, though, that makes us, from a technical standpoint, quite a bit better. We've got a behavior blocker, it's called, that can stop a new virus as it tries to infect. And McAfee doesn't have one. Norton's is weak. We can remove an unknown file virus that has infected some of your files and do a perfect job using a kind of a tricky technology. Neither of those products do that. We can detect an unknown virus in memory and the boot area, and macroviruses and so on. And a lot of our product is designed not to be a traditional product, but to deal with the kind of the modern problem, which is that the virus that you get tomorrow may not be anything that the vendor saw last month. It may be new to the vendor, too. And so how is a traditional scanner going to deal with a virus it's never seen?
Yeah.
And the world is really changing that way. With the Internet, it's possible for someone to write a virus and distribute it the same day, distribute it worldwide, great quantity.
Without having to worry about postage and handling, you know.
That's right. No shipping fees.
Is the virus problem, is that really a problem, or is it overhyped and people are just making too much of it?
Well, it's probably true that it has been overhyped in the past. But we could, your previous discussion seemed to be about backup, and we could say the same kind of thing about backup, perhaps. Somebody's hard disk did not crash today, and they're thinking, and it didn't crash yesterday or the day before, they're thinking, why should I back up today since my drive is not crashing? Some of the problem with backup is that our equipment is so reliable that we really come to trust it. In the virus problem, we often think, well, the probability of a virus is pretty low. See, I haven't had one in months. So why should I every day do this precaution scan, or why should I buy a product or upgrade a product or whatever? And the answer is that viruses are low-frequency events that are sometimes high in severity, just like failure to back up, a hard drive crash is very low frequency and very high severity. Not all viruses, though, are severe in their impact, which makes it even harder to kind of take precautions against this threat. Surely, a decade ago, vendors were hyping the virus problem, and there really wasn't anything to worry about except the distant future, because they were so scarce. But I think most of our listeners may have had an infection already this year and work in an organization that has a virus at this moment in some machine.
Mm-hmm.
So the early warnings were perhaps just too early.
On the same subject, last year it wasn't as bad. The year before it was worse, and the year before that it was even worse. on March 6th when people turn on their machine and Michelangelo hit them really bad. Does that have anything to do with 95? Is it not working? Is it not working as well on 95? Do you know?
Well,
we didn't see even one machine yesterday.
Yeah, and I got no calls, and I put out a couple feelers. I said, if you get reports, let me know, and I didn't hear of anything. It's hard to judge for a lot of reasons. One is that almost three out of four people, I guess, have an antivirus product that is capable of detecting Michelangelo, no problem.
Right.
The rest don't have a product installed at all, so any product can detect this thing.
Right.
And it's an easy virus to remove. So many people, many of our listeners, will who've found Michelangelo, just kill the thing when they find it and go on with life.
Yeah.
It's a little like taking your vitamins in the morning. Don't have to report it to management. Don't have to call the security officer or the police or their vendor or anything. So what we don't know is whether the difference between cases as reported and cases that occur. I suspect there have been more Michelangelo incidents, not the March 6th problem, but, you know, March 5th, any day of the year when people found it and get reported. And so I would guess that it's on the rise rather than on the shrivel up and go away. But, yes, Windows 95 will report that there's a boot virus here, boot area has been modified, and that should tip off most users to go do something.
Okay. We're talking with Dr. David Stang from the Quarterdeck company about viruses. You're listening to Computers 98 on 850, The Buzz.
What is this, Wally? David, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
There's been a lot of hype lately about email viruses.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are hoaxes, some of them aren't. What is your general feeling about how people should handle this?
Well, first let me do the hoax. The hoax goes like this. Look out, look out, look out. If you see the words such and such in the subject line of an email,
don't
open the mail because, and then description of what this thing could do to you. Your CPU blows up. Your diskettes become jelly donuts, whatever. Instead, you know, scare the bejesus out of everyone who's on your email list. Send them a warning to watch out. In fact, you better do that right now. Send them this warning. Now, the subject lines to watch out for, according to this post, are good times, Deenda, and join the crew. But there's no reason why we can't have, Bill Clinton as the subject line. Quick,
right.
Warn your friends, your machine is going to something.
Yeah. Go out with an intern.
And the virus here is actually the email. You know, somebody sends email to 100 people warning them, and three of them only fall for this, but they each send it out to 100. So there's now 300 people, well, plus the original 100. It's a chain letter that just runs amok because there's no postage required. And it circles the globe again and again and again. So good times, that warning is a couple years old now, and I continue to get calls on it.
Yeah.
So you cannot absolutely get hurt by reading email. The truth won't hurt you, and neither will some lies. Whatever's in that email, read it. Go ahead. That's what your eyes were made for. They won't get hurt either. On the other hand, you can attach a Word document to email.
Mm-hmm.
And a Word document can contain a macro virus. And when you double-click on that document, you load it into Word, and any macros in there that are automatically execute, and you're infected if there's a macro virus in it. So this is very close to the hoax story. We have to say that you can't get a virus reading email, but you could get a virus by reading email attachments.
Mm.
And it is turning out that the macro virus is the worst of all the virus problems we've got, and partly because of the explosive growth of email and the widespread use of Microsoft Word.
So it can be a problem, and your advice is just to...
Well, I would be running an up-to-date antivirus product, and I would always check a document that I've gotten from someone. Remember that we get most of our viruses from our friends, They're not hostile acts by villains or hackers. They are our buddies who didn't know there was a virus and gave us this thing. So from those we trust most, be most suspicious. and see if there are any macros in the document. In Word, you can do this by going up to the menu and say, Tools Macro.
Right.
Now, if that menu option has disappeared, or if when you do it, you're disallowed looking at the macros you've got listed, or if you see some crazy macros in there like payload, well, I guess you've got trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time to get out an antivirus product and straighten things up.
And most of them find the word macro virus, right?
Yeah,
There are
the late ones.
Some very high failure rates here right now. We have in the neighborhood of 2,200 Word macroviruses.
Wow.
And I scanned with a popular product you mentioned earlier.
McAfee.
It could be one of those companies.
It could be one of them.
Okay.
I did this last night. I scanned about 5,000 files and that were infected with macroviruses and found only 11% infected. That was with version 3.0. Now, there's a newer version that does better, but 3.0 is still on the shelves most places. So you can't, I'd say to listeners that you can't go on reputation alone in deciding that something is good. Just because it's well-known doesn't mean that it's got modern firepower for dealing with this modern problem.
Yeah, good information.
Our
product detected 97%, by the way.
Virus sweep.
Yes.
How often should people update their data file?
Well, you know, there's not a right answer. Part of me wants to say every 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. Now, I agree.
If you're a religious kind of person, the rate at which viruses are coming out means that, you know, if you didn't do an update in a month, there have been, in the last month, there have been 200 or 300 written since then, which has some chance of getting you. Okay, every few minutes is nuts. Every month is probably a good idea. If you don't do it that often, you need to have some justification. My mom does.
Mm-hmm.
My mom uses the same program every day. She doesn't know how to get on the Internet. She doesn't do email. She doesn't have any friends who know how to use computers. She's perfectly safe for the rest of her life, unless my dad infects her machine.
David, what is the best way to deal with it? How can people really, what is the practical way to prevent or to try to prevent a virus?
Well, this too is a great question. It is early in the morning for good questions, you know. I love the word prevent. Much of our own personal philosophy as computer users in the past wasn't on prevent. It was, oh, whenever I'm nervous, I'll scan my machine and see if anything is here.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that's not prevention. That would prevent a further stage of trouble. But if you scan your machine and you find 15 or 50 infected files, we're in pretty deep doo-doo right now. So prevent requires that you have a resident component running. If you're in DOS, this is a TSR or a device driver or something, VXD in Windows 95 maybe, or DLL, but something's running in background and
mm-hmm.
it's watching over you. And you know enough about it that you have adjusted its settings so that it's watching what you want to have watched. And it can be doing two things. One is it can be scanning for viruses that it knows, and it can be on the lookout for viruses that it doesn't know, that is, for virus-like behavior. A virus-like behavior is that we add code to another file. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can see that happening, and we can stop that, and then maybe you go get your update. So prevent, actually, is the best idea of all. You should also figure that nothing in this world seems to be absolutely perfect, except maybe a sunset, and that a product, your very favorite product, might fail, say, to prevent for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
You had turned it off and forgot to turn it on. Your son was using the computer the other day. This is a tricky new kind of virus. The product didn't work as promised. So So then you've got to have some more plans here. And I think that occasional backup, you know, once a lifetime or more often wouldn't be a bad idea. Not at all. And having an ability to remove if prevention fails is a good one. Listeners should know this. Products don't always tell the truth. That last commercial,
yeah.
Liar, liar.
Yeah.
And so a product can say, uh-oh, you got the hoochie-coochie virus, new variant, cannot remove. Don't believe that. There has never been a user in North Carolina who has been infected with a non-removable virus.
Right.
Here we're talking theory. The way the virus added itself to this thing, you could reverse it if only you knew how. Some product out there knows. Don't go deleting all your infected files. Get another product that can handle it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. We need to break away. Is there a website where users can go to sample Quarterdeck products?
Yes, and we've got a website, in fact, that's got virus descriptions. If
your
listeners want to look at them, we've got about 13,500 descriptions posted there now. The site address is http www.quarterdeck, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-D-E-C-K, com, and that'll get you to the main site. If you want to go directly to the Antivirus Research Center's part of it, then you add a slash quark, Q-U-A-R-C.
Okay.
Well, I enjoyed my little visit this morning.
Hope
to see you all again.
Thank you, David. We need to do it again.
I'd love to.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was David Stank from Quarterdeck. And we need to break away for commercial, but we'll be right back. So your calls are coming up next on the station. Oh, wait a second. We have another giveaway. Hey, John. Since we're listening to 850 The Buzz, be the 850th caller. Look at John. Be the eighth caller to 860-0850 or pound 850 if you're in the car after we go to the commercial, and get a copy of Microsoft Windows Test Preparation Series. Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment, 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication caller. And our winner for this book is. He's still a winner.
He's still alive.
Cliff Garrett of Clayton. Cliff,
congratulations.
Congratulations. You got the book. It's a very nice book.
Even I know,
you
I'm
like
looking
it.
Yeah,
wow.
Even I like it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I have a 95 freeze on it.
Okay.
House.
I want to get back to our guests here. Robert Bruce and Howard Udell. It's Triangle Resource.
Triangle Resource Group.
Group. Providers of safety net. Perfect. Let's go this way. Even though you'll always be known as the safety net. Those of you that did not, that tuned later, safety net is a service that TRG, the Triangle Research Group, is providing, which allows you to back up your system to a remote location through your telephone lines or through the internet, and it's done automatically. And in essence, you have a backup that you don't have to do anything about. It does it automatically, and if you ever want to restore something, you just go there and restore. So I have a PC. And I want to back up the stuff. What makes your PC better than mine? I mean, what am I restoring into?
Good question. You're backing up. A lot of people have the feeling that they're backing to a PC. That's not the case at all. Triangle Resource Group has a what's called a RAID array server with RAID 5 technology. The RAID 5 allows for 99.9% uptime. What that means is that at any time that they're backing up to our high-quality server, that if something were to happen to our machine, there's always another drive that takes its place, so the customer never loses it. They're coming in through what are called T1s, which are very high-tech, very high-quality phone lines and very high-quality Internet connections with all kinds of firewalls and things to protect the data. So what they have is their encrypted data coming off a standard hard drive coming into the state-of-the-art, easily expandable, virtually 100% uptime hardware.
Are you going to add something, Robert? I mean, you're looking like...
No, that's it.
Okay. Now, I get a lot of people that I cannot leave my computer on at night because somebody's going to come and steal everything I have.
Well, the majority of the businesses that we see in the small to medium size are leaving their computers on anyway. They have some sort of UPS. So, and then usually when we are in the process of talking about the service, one of the questions that comes up is how secure is the data, the data files being transferred, because it is a significant concern. It's going over the internet or it's going over standard phone lines into a modem pool. So SafetyNet's approach to securing the data doesn't really rely on formal encryption algorithms. The software uses a series of actions that collectively provide a high level of data protection. And those actions are a user identification and verification code. The other item is the data protection. How is it protected when it's in transit? And then how is it protected while it's stored? And then when I have to restore offline, meaning to a CD, how do I make sure that my data is secure? So we use a embedded end-user software ID, which ensures that only registered end-users' PCs can dial into the SafetyNet server. When you install the SafetyNet software, a unique PIN number for each end-user is given to you, which ensures that only the original end-user, you, can restore and have access to your files. And a unique data compression algorithm, it puts footers and headers onto the data, then compresses it prior to it being sent.
And to answer a little bit about the UPS and the whole idea is, once the initial backup is done, you know, and there's plenty of people who feel that it hurts a lot more to turn the PC off before you turn it back on. You hurt it more. And the bottom line is, the incremental backups after the first one take 20 minutes, so they could then shut it off.
Yeah, I mean, this is something, I didn't even think in the beginning, you know, about that fact, that it's going to take hours and hours. It took 2 days with a break in the middle of 12 hours, though. And the nice thing, it picked up right where it left off. So the initial one does take a long time. Yeah.
And that's the only time they'd have to leave it on.
How do people reach you?
Well, they can reach us on a web page.
Oh, thank you very much. go ahead.
www.trgcomm.com. They can read, see our marketing material there, and also download the software.
And isn't there a phone number where they can call you?
Yeah, 800-213-7168 if you're out of town, or 919-831-2710.
This guy was never on the radio.
No.
Slow down.
919-831-2710. How's that?
That's better.
Better.
And if you're out of town.
If you're out of town, you can reach us at 800-213-7168.
Very good. And is there an email where people can...
You can reach us at...
We have an email. Get on the website.
So info@trgcomm.com.
Yeah, you get on the website, and that's from there you can probably do
correct.
It.
Yes.
It's a great service. Indeed. I mean, I know we're winding down. I wish we had another hour here.
I wish we did, too. You know, just to read something to you, actually, real quick. And I just saw this, that there's a university study said that if you lose your data...
Mm-hmm.
In your company,
you're screwed.
You can lose as much as 25% of your daily revenue immediately. By day 25, if you haven't got it back, it's 40%. Within 2 weeks, 75% can reach critical loss. And 40% of companies experience tragic data loss, go out of business. So if you don't think this stuff's important, then you don't think your business is important. I mean, I really like having these guys here because this is very vital stuff for
very
people.
We'll have to have you guys back as the thing.
Yeah, as you grow and prosper.
That'll
and,
be great. Thank you very much for having me.
Bring us bagels.
No, thank you. Thank you. I guess that's it for today. You want to say hello to anybody?
Hello. I got two daughters who are babysitting a dog somewhere. So hello there. And to my wife who's in Chapel Hill fighting the good cause for children.
Good. Robert Bruce, Howard Udell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
SafetyNet is something that's going to, I'm sure it's going to keep on growing and proving itself.
That's it for today. Thank you for tuning in to 850 The Buzz and to Computers 98. As usual, practice self-computing. Don't forget to use the virus scanner. Back up your hard drive. Back it up. We'll be back here next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Till then, keep your dial right here on the station. Won't pay your rent or your mortgage. Plus your car payment, 850 The Buzz. And, John, thank you very much for the screening and for handling the contest. We'll see you next week.